up to the lip of the hole, poking the muzzles of their guns into the gloom. The lip was ragged and scorched with heat marks, and had the puckered, wrinkled look of a half-closed mouth. A meter or two below the surface, however, the wall of the hole was lined with a thick, fibrous mass, which glistened gently as their torchlight skittered across it. Sky thought he recognized that mass. It was a matrix of extruded diamond fibers embedded in epoxy, a quick-drying paste that could be used to repair hull punctures. Oliveira had probably located a weak spot on the Caliuche. He must have taken the time to make a density map before selecting this point, and had then used something to cut through, a laser torch or even the exhaust of his shuttle. Once he had bored the shaft, he had lined it with the spray-on sealant from his shuttle's emergency kit, presumably to prevent it collapsing shut. "We'll go in this way," Sky said. "Oliveira must have found the most promising entry point. There's no sense in duplicating his effort when we've so little time to spare." They checked that the internal compasses built into their suits were functioning accurately, defining their current position as a zero point. The Caliuche was neither spinning nor tumbling, so the compasses would prevent them getting lost once they were inside. But even if the compasses proved unreliable, they would be able to retrace their way to the wound in the hull, deploying a line as they went. Sky halted in his thoughts, wondering why he had just thought of the hole in the hull as a wound. They went in, Sky first. The hole led into a rough-walled tunnel which cut straight into the hull, threading down for 10 or 12 meters. Normally by this point, had the ship been the Santiago, they would have passed right through the hull's outer integument and would be passing through a series of narrow service cavities, squeezing between the multitude of data lines, power cables, and refrigerant pipes. Perhaps even one of the train tunnels. There were, Sky knew, points where the hull was more or less solid for several meters, but he was reasonably sure this was not one of them. Now the sides of the shaft, or tunnel, or however he preferred to think of it, had become harder and more glossy, less like elephant hide and more like insect chitin. He shone his torchlight ahead into the gloom, the beam sliding off the shining black surface. Then, just when it looked like it would end abruptly, the shaft jogged violently to the right. Fully suited, with the additional bulk of the thruster harness, it was an effort to squeeze round the bend, but at least the smooth-sided shaft would not snag his suit or rip away any vital component. He looked back and saw Norquinco following him, the other man's slightly larger bulk making the exercise even less easy. But now the shaft widened out, and after it intersected with another, the going became even easier. Periodically, Sky stopped and asked Norquinco to ensure that the line was spooling out properly, and that the line was still taut, but the inertial compasses were still functioning properly, recording their movements relative to the entry point. He tried the radio. "Gomez, can you read me?"
"Loud and clear. What have you found?"
"Nothing, yet. But I think we can say with some confidence that this isn't the Caliuche. Norquinco and I must be 20 meters into the hull, and we're still moving through what feels like solid material." Gomez waited for a few moments before answering. "That doesn't make any sense."
"No,
not if we keep on assuming this is a ship like our own. I don't think it is. I think it's something else. Something we definitely weren't expecting."
"Do you think it came from home? That it's something they sent out after we left?"
"No, they've only had a century, Gomez. I don't think that's enough time to come up with something like this." They slithered deeper. "It doesn't feel like anything human. It doesn't even feel like we're inside a machine. But whatever it is, it just happens to look exactly like one of